Thank you for asking. It's so good to be back with you. I have a difficulty oftentimes at lunchtime being able to be with you, because that's when oftentimes pastors go and talk with people and counsel with people. So I'm here as often as I can. But yesterday, Rick came over and helped us. We have a group of young men who have been called into the ministry, and their desire is to be trained. Now, I need to give a little bit of background on this one. When I was growing up, I have four uncles who are all with the Lord right now, and they were all pastors. My grandfather was a pastor. A fifth uncle in marriage was also a pastor. My father-in-law was a pastor. My brother-in-law is a pastor. My grandfather in-law, I guess if you would say that, he was a pastor. So I come from a long line of pastors. And so when I was a young guy around in junior high, I knew the Lord wanted me to be a pastor. The struggle came is that I was never trained to be a pastor. And I went to seminary, and I got all the theoretical and theological frame of reference, but I never really knew how ministry worked and the practical application of it. And so we've started kind of a small little class for the individuals who are in our church that God has, they believe God has called them into the ministry. We started to talk about that last time we were together yesterday. But I had asked Rick to come and begin their whole journey by talking about prayer. That's his focus on his doctorate was. And I have oftentimes enjoyed being able to hear him give fruit to the labors of that work as far as prayer is concerned. And so I asked him to come yesterday. He did graciously. And it really impacted me again, and it impacted the guys that were there. And I want to say thank you to you, because he told me that you guys were praying for that group. It's important that young men realize that they're the next generation, and guys with, like me, with gray hair need to realize that they can't hold on to the pulpit so long that the next generation doesn't get a chance, because that's what took place for me. I was not mentored. I was not taught. I made a lot of decisions in the early times that I would not make today, but I didn't know any better. And so we're hoping getting them involved, helping them to see the nuts and bolts of ministry that is really going to minister to them and bless them. So that was what we were doing yesterday. Thank you for praying for us as we went through that. It was 4 hours on Friday, and we just go through everything. And yesterday we began with prayer, and then we talked about the essentials of the doctrines of the Word of God. We talked about what calling means and what it is, and then we started into church history. And so all of those were delightful subjects for me. But then Rick afterwards said, hey, can you there's somebody that might be sick tomorrow. Can you do the devotional? And this morning, I just want to give you what was given to me by the Lord this morning. And I really, this is powerful, powerful stuff. But in Luke chapter 5, you know, Rick's whole ministry as far as Acorn is concerned is based upon the word awe, and how often we don't have awe in our ministries. And so that has been something that has prodded me in recent days. And what does that mean, and how does that happen in a ministry? And so I was reading in Luke chapter 5, and the final portion of Luke 5, or in verse 26, it basically says this, that what transpires, there were three things that occurred. And at the end of these three things, this verse is given to us, verse 26, and amazement seized them all, and they glorify God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. And I started thinking in my heart, how often our people come to our churches and they don't have that awe as they walk out, and how important that is. And so I started asking the question, what is this? What is this that needs to be into our ministry so that we can have awe in the church? And so I went back, and there are three different circumstances, and I'll mention them to you, and you get a chance to read through it today. I think it'll bless your heart. But in these three stories, they have an impact so that the people state at the very end that we have seen amazing things. The first one is Simon Peter, and you know the story. You know all of these stories, basically, and he has been fishing all night. Christ comes there, gets into his boat, speaks to the people that are there. And then he says to Peter, hey, go out and throw the nets down. And Peter's response is, Master, we have fished all night, caught nothing. And then he says, but nevertheless, at your command, I will obey. And what happens? They find all kinds of fishes. And this is the first one. In the face of failure, there is humble obedience, and that contributes to awe. There's humble obedience. Just because you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. Even though I've been faced with failure, I'm going to obey you. Remember that one. And then he goes to the second one, and in the second, a leper comes running up and asks for healing in his life from Jesus. And again, here's another one. This is in the face of failure. His body is racked with leprosy. And he asks for Christ to heal him. And Christ does heal him. The Lord responds with healing and cleansing. So prayer in the face of failure contributes. That's a second contribution that is given in this passage of Scripture. And then the third one comes up. That men are bringing a lame man to Jesus, and he sees their faith and forgives their sins, and the lame man walks while others ridicule and criticize Jesus, so that there is strength and forgiveness granted in the face of failure. And all three of these are filled out, begun, I guess I would say they began with failure. And so often when failure hits, we kind of sit back and say, hey, you know what? It's just not working. This is not going to happen. And yet in all three of these situations, Jesus took that which was filled with failure and brings it to absolute awe. And it's after this third one, after the third one where he heals them, he forgives them, that all of these are brought to astonishment. They're brought to awe in the crowd. I really believe, brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart that awe is necessary in the Church of God today, because you have this in entertainment world that presents quote unquote superficial awe on stage or on the screen, and the real awe of the soul is lost. And I think you see that and people see that. And as I was talking to Rick, he told me a story, I'm not sure the names, but that there was an individual who was coming to this prayer time and asked for prayer for a friend of his. The group prayed for that friend becomes saved, then a friend of hers gets saved, and another friend. See, you look at that and you go, that's awe giving. That just bears awe and astonishment. And that comes because God enters into our setting, brings about his glory, and we are all sit back and say, we have a God of awe, a God of astonishing glory. And that's what this whole thing is about with prayer. But that's what has to be filled with our lives, because when that occurs, I'll make you a promise, when that occurs, people are drawn to it. They just can't stay away because they're unbelievable. And they come running toward it. And that's what happened with Christ. And that will happen with us as his children. When our lives are filled with God so that he is changing things, taking failures and bringing them into awe-ridden glory, people are drawn. You don't even have to ask them to come. They come by themselves. So my encouragement for you today is to remember that you have a God of awe, and we are the vessels in which he pours that awe so that other individuals can see and say, I want that. I want that. Blessings to you. Thanks so much for listening today. And I pray that your day is a wonderful, wonderful day.